Well, let me hear you say mountain, mountain, mountain.
I hear what you're saying.
I.
Hey, we are here again. Y'all laugh, yo. Yo, you know people always ask why I laugh so much during the radio show. They think I'd be up there smoking and drinking and stuff. I don't know the music put me on the heights, you know? We are here again, Ballhead and the Dread Podcast. We give thanks for everyone tuning in from those times to now. Fire, what are we reasoning about today?
Well, today we are reasoning about the law of equivalent exchange. And before we even dig into the reasoning, I really want to read out what is the law of equivalent exchange before we go into the reasoning. So I'm going to read it to the people. The law of equivalent exchange simply states that for anything given, you must receive something of people with greater value. And for anything received or expected, you must sacrifice or give something of equal or greater value. Life runs two ways.
All right. You see, the law of equivalent exchange, let's talk about entitlement before we get into the reasoning. We live in a culture of it, in my generation too, because what I noticed is I was born in 84, right? Mm-hmm. And my generation and cuss generations after, but our generation had that entitlement psychology a little bit too, you know, not as bad, but they had it still that, and I blame Hollywood, all right? And I blame parents because I think that's the start of parents with this, I'm going to give my kid things they didn't have. And they started mm-hmm. to deal more with the material. I think mostly because they had access to credit and they were making a little more money. But that entitlement bug, Faya, and Hollywood and the media that really brainwashes people to believe that they're deserving of things. Faya, you know how I refer to young black people when I was teaching now? This mm-hmm. disenfranchised, entitled people, yeah. Mm-hmm. You have people at the lower ends of society with entitlement that feel that somebody deserves something, that someone owes them something. Mm-hmm. Entitlement. People feel entitled to things. Mm-hmm. And when you have entitlement, it destroys work ethic. It destroys consistency. And you live in a state of delusion. Because mm-hmm. the thing that you want and the skill that you... Sorry to laugh when I say this. The thing that you want and the skills that you have, they don't connect.
Not much.
But they don't match, yo. Mm-hmm. You see it all the time. You go to a certain place and go amongst people and they start telling you what they're going to do for what they're not going to do. Mm-hmm. And it's always some extreme thing, too. It's not even like starting their business. They're going to jump to a billionaire business, you know? But
right off the top.
My question is just like, how is this going to take place? Mm-hmm. Then when you ask them how it's going to take place, you fight them down and you grudgefully eat.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a big misconception because where do we demystify a lot of things within the law of equivalent exchange as they're just doing, you know, which entitlement is one thing where you have to demystify real quick. And next thing I'm going to demystify is this concept of people might hear the law of equivalent exchange, which is basically in order to get something, you have to give something. And in order to give something, you have to get something. But it's not just where people are thinking from an immoral standpoint, where you see a lot of people think, okay, all right, you know, I just made that charity or whatever, I'm supposed to receive this, or you give somebody something
blessing.
And think you're supposed to get something in return. That's not what it's referring to. It's more referring to you as the individual. See? So everything about the law of equivalent exchange is always referring to you as the individual, that state of consciousness within you. Where you have whatever you give out, seeing the energy where you put into anything at all, a particular action, a particular thinking, the energy that you put into anything at all, you have to know that energy have to be there and you have to give. For instance, if you want to receive $5,000 every week, you can't just receive, as I said, going hand in hand with the entitlement. You can't just want to receive $5,000 and all the Lord will provide. Or feel like, say, you can put in a minimal amount of work. Where you have to know, in order to get that $5,000 a week, you have to have a plan. And once you have that plan to get that $5,000 a week, is it going to be a good, you're going to provide a good, or you're going to provide a service so you can get to that $5,000 a week? And what is the value of that good and service? So you have to put this thinking into the whole concept where you're going to do in order to receive that $5,000. I say any achievement where you say you're gonna take on, even if it's not a monetary achievement, because what we think about the law of equivalent exchange, oftentimes people start thinking about the concept of money. See, because we're in this capitalistic society, and anything we think about, we have to do with exchange. But yeah. We hear the word exchange automatically. I think most people bring shopping come to mind.
Yeah.
And then some form of consumership. So most people understand, say it's not just about monetary consumption or monetary exchange. It's more deeper. It's a state of consciousness where we have to reach towards in order to bring out the real law of equivalent exchange. Or else, every single thing where you try in your life, nothing will ever happen to you if you can't carry out the law of equivalent exchange to the full extent.
Fire, I want to jump back to this church thing, you know, because you brought up a great point. We're not gonna jump over this one, yeah. You see this idea that, you know, especially with God now, right? You brought up a great point in regards to you did a good deed, so you're deserving of this good deed, right? You know, the thing I always question, I'm not trying to stray from the argument, but listen to this. The thing I always question was like, if that's your approach to the good deed, then the good deed is not necessarily done from a clean heart and a moral standpoint.
All right.
Because it's not done for the sake of doing. It's done for the sake of a return. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where most people flop themselves in regards to their behavior is that we spoke about this before, and it ties in with the social media thing and this picture thing, taking pictures, everything, and taking videos. It's like, how much things are we doing for the sake of just doing it? You know, Midnight got a lyric about kids running outside just for the sake of running outside to have a good time. I'm not running outside so you could tape me with the hopes of someone watching it. Or everything is this hope of something else. And by doing all this now with the church thing, it's a moral issue, because what type of person are you when you're doing these good deeds with not for the purpose of the good deed, but for some return, like on investment? Like, I helped 10 people, so God's supposed to throw me a 20% or something, right? Mm-hmm. In regards to doing stuff, it's just like, I don't know, as human beings, it gets kind of weird, because what are we? You're not in the moment if we're not generally doing stuff. It's like some ulterior motive for every action that you do.
But it connected still in, and I really say, all the elements and straight from the argument. It's not a straight, it's really a subtopic within the thing in a fire, because the way all most people think, you know, the fact that your thought process corrupt from the first place, and you look for something in return for any quote-unquote good deed where you do, it sure already say the law of equivalent exchange not going to benefit you. Uh-uh. So can you realize most people who have that state of mind, here's the first thing. When something bad happened to them, here's the first thing where them always echo. Look how much good me do for people.
Yeah.
And then why good things can't come around to me?
That shows exactly the source. And yeah. And one more thing, Farah, I know you saw this too, because, you know, let's just put it out there. Due to the topics that we touch on, I Never Knew TV, right? It's not as profitable as the next thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we still do it because it comes from the heart. But if the purpose was profit, I stopped this a long time ago. You get what I'm saying? Because then you would get discouraged, because the purpose is not to do it for the genuine love or to do it to help people. The purpose is profit, praise, or what's the next thing? Fame, or those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving in this. People are our society grooms you to be pushed into this place where everything has to be done for this external outcome. Not saying that you shouldn't be doing stuff. Obviously, we're not telling anybody to be homeless or not. But at the same time, no. What happens is it's so detrimental. And we spoke about this earlier. That dude Chris Hedges speaks about it, man. The great author, speaker. He speaks about how this generation has been destroyed talent-wise, because no time is being spent in developing talent. Everything is a rush for this job with this income. And by getting these jobs with particular incomes and that being the focal point, people aren't developing their talents and their skills.
Then that the number one blocker that towards even, all right, so the same success that everybody loves talk about, and that really blocked them from success, you know. So enough people don't understand that the whole concept of monetary gains, you know. And the same reason why the law of equivalent exchange now go benefit most people, because them I think about monetary gains for you. So enough man don't understand, say, all right, as a musician, yes, riches is a part of the thing once you reach to a certain level. but you not do it for the riches. So you're supposed to ask. Just like how the chronics, we can use the example, him say, do it for the love and I do it for the likes.
Yeah.
You see, so is a man of doing this thing wholeheartedly and putting in that energy. Yes, there are byproducts of this thing, you know. So that means there are certain things that come with it, certain incentives that come with it. But the incentives can only come once you reach to a level of greatness, reach to a level of, we're not talking about us record level of pusher, but you directly know into you, you dig deep, you find the lyrics, you find the melody, you come from a place where it connect with so much people across the world, then in return the riches are going to come, but the riches was not the aim of the whole thing.
And Farah, you know, this is just such a universal, obviously it's a universal law, but this reasoning could go into every facet of your life because, relationships, right? Mm-hmm. People want all this and don't put in, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know, man. I think that I said earlier, I blame Hollywood. This is the reason I didn't explain why. This is the reason I blame Hollywood. Hollywood movies and shows are formatted in a reel where things happen so quick. So, you know, you have the character, what they call the protagonist, I guess, right? And, you know, they have a vision or they have something they want to do and it starts, but things go good very quick, like very quick. And I think we see it so much. We have internalized collectively as a culture that is how things work out. Mm-hmm. Cause say you have a movie where somebody's a baker, right? They're trying to be a baker. Somehow they get the money for the shop. They get the shop. Maybe the first 2 days is struggling, then it's just crazy. It's dust everywhere, fires, lines. They just throwing out cakes. Then they run into a little problem, and at the end, the problem fixes itself. And like, I just think people internalize like that's how life works. I really do, because if you really talk to them, and even myself, I'm just speaking myself, because earlier I internalized it because I would have an issue when things didn't go your way because I didn't understand like. That's just life, fire. It's not even the sense things don't go your way. Things don't go as planned as you planned it out. And mm-hmm. I don't know the criteria for the plans we have because a lot of plans we have make no sense in regards to time and structure, everything mm-hmm. else. So, you know, that we're not very accurate. We have no accuracy in regards to how things play out. But that timeline has shaped people's minds. And I think that's where the entitlement comes from because what occurs is that people believe as long as I basically start something and do something, it should work. Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to like, I'm opening the business, mm-hmm. man, I registered the business, I rented the spot, I stocked it with stuff, and I'm supposed to have a line. Mm-hmm. Why don't I have a line now? Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you date a Christian, it's the devil or whatever, in the sense that that's just not the process because the person doesn't analyze and say, one, is the product you selling even appealing to people? Yeah. Do you know anything about marketing? Are you in a proper location? Are you in a brick and mortar? Like all these questions we don't ask. We just, through the entitlement indoctrination, we just feel that once we do something, everything should come to us.
It's a template. The reason, you see, one of the main reasons why that I go on, there's a ready-made template where everybody I follow for the most part. Ready-made template where every single body me say I follow. And that are one of the main things them where I let them down, but them not realize that I let them down for you. Because it's when you follow the ready-made template, them not really, them can't go off script. Because you know, so if it was me, I'm going to tell you, I say this all the time, people laugh sometimes. If it was me and me a direct movie. Sometimes the star Africa dead too, you know.
Have to, yeah.
Yeah, man. Sometimes the movie star.
Because that's life, you know. It just don't work out.
Because and, everything does all pretty. Because you know, so when me watch when we watch a movie for you, automatically we see this thing. No matter how much struggle the star want to go through, you know, the star all we know, we just know before the movie say, so, yo, watch, you know. This man naga dead, you know. This man not right. Yeah, watch y'all watch all John Wick and or whatever y'all watch, you know. John Wick, no matter how much shot him, get him now dead, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just a concept where in our brain, where we overstand, say. So as the eye said, the protagonist, I got automatically come out on top when in a reality, it don't happen like that.
And like, I don't even say it doesn't happen, right?
No, all the time.
All the time, right? Mm-hmm. But even though what does coming out top look like,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's another aspect too people don't want to talk about. What I've learned in my life is that yo, sometimes things not working out is the greatest blessing you could ever get. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. In retrospect, you just need time and distance to understand how much it was a benefit this thing didn't work out for you.
Mm-hmm. And a joke.
You know, so it's like people get so frustrated with everything. What I've learned, man, and I'm a man that do a lot of stuff. I'm not trying to hype up. I do a lot of stuff, right? But what I've learned is to just let, like, I learned this. I didn't do it all the time with sports, but the games I had real good, I did it. I just let the game come to me. Simple. I prepare, right? I prepare for the game. But the best games I ever played is when I let the game come to me. If I go out and say, oh, I got to score 25, it don't work for you because I'm forcing mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to let things play out and just keep your eyes open and just see where to pick your spots.
And natural mystic, man, because yeah. you see this thing too. You have to just blend the natural mystic with a sacrifice too, you know. Yeah. You see the sacrifice thing. Most people don't want to sacrifice it, you know. So you see the template over top, bro. That's the reason why them follow this. All right, so here's what. Well, no, there are different groups of people, right? So there are some groups of people who not doing anything at all. So we're not even talk about them. See, we want to make sure, so we're not even talk about the people who not make one move at all. All
right.
But then we go one step up the ladder now where there's people who actually, they are doing progressive things and yeah. we highlight them. And we really want to make it, we don't want it to seem all negative.
Yeah.
We highlight them for actually taking a step and making an effort to try to make things work. But then, here is where we really want this one particular part we want to highlight about them making the effort. You can't just make the basic effort and expect the thing to become the best that anybody has ever seen, because there's so much competition already in the market. There's so much different odds that are against you from starting out, where we must realize this basic effort will not cut it. So it's the matter of how much are you willing to give? How much are you willing to sacrifice to get to this level of greatness? Because greatness is not just something that's said. Greatness is something where you have to actually carry out and pull through, and there's different elements of greatness.
But far, I think too, we need to bring back this apprenticeship in regards to really having a period where you just hone your craft. And I think we have too many people who don't know what they're doing trying to do stuff, and they get frustrated when it don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think that's the basis of it, is that you just generally don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture of knowing what you're doing and luck. It takes a lot of time to work on your craft. I don't want to praise the cycles we praise, like some of the top athletes, like your Tom Brady's and rest of the dead, Kobe Bryant and your Michael Jordan. But there is something to take away from them. You don't have to go to that extreme in regards to where you sacrifice everything in your life. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a commitment to your craft. Those people were committed to their craft. It wasn't hocus pocus. They were generally scientists when it came to their craft. They broke down every aspect that was needed for them to excel what they do. Now, you can do that on a smaller level where you can still be a functioning human being and still have a, you know, if you have a family or maintain relationships, yeah, you could go way down into the deep zone where you can't, you know what I'm saying? You're so consumed with that thing. But I think the greatest lesson to take from them is in regards to they were true students and masters at your craft. But you can't be a master of your craft if you're not a student of your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always learning and always analyzing and always learning, you know. And I think that's what's missing. You know, this conversation reminds me of business owners that I could speak of the demographic that I grew up in, specifically hair salons and barbershops, right, or restaurants. A man opened a restaurant, first thing he have is a big car and big clothes, but the restaurant mm-hmm. not generating no funds. So, like, I said that to say is that you have a lot of people who look the part that's not necessarily doing the part. And I think we need to focus more on actually doing the part than looking the part. And I think social media now has just created a space where you can, because far I see it and I'm not trying to knock no one, and I understand things don't work out, right? So I'm not saying because things don't work out, it's a flop, because a lot of things don't work out for me, but you see it numerous times where it's this big excitement with things and it's this big excitement, then you don't see it again. Now, I will say this now. You got to do something again. But it's just mm-hmm. like you just could tell that it was more an attention thing than a thing. Yeah. I tell you, people like this attention thing more than money. Yeah.
No, I told you. Currency, yeah. I know the currency that
the currency,
float.
Yeah.
That's the currency will float. Attention is of more value than money within the economy.
Yeah, so a man not really preying what's needed to do to generate these funds legally. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but people really need to be a student with your craft and be patient with yourself. I think that mixture of being a student of your craft, that consistency of working on it all every day, luck, you know what I'm saying, faith, and that determination, that's where things change. But if you don't have those things, you know, if you think because, you know, there's another thing too, Farai. People haven't, we've both been fortunate enough to be exposed to that from early on. So, you know, and if a person hasn't been exposed, he probably think just the fact that he opened the doors, things supposed to work. So we have to acknowledge that aspect too. So we coming from a biased standpoint in regards that you actually saw firsthand and touched people that did these great things, right? So the person may be the first one in his family to open a business. And he's just thinking in his mind now that literally, like, once I open these doors or once I get this website going, I'm going to be a millionaire, not understanding finance, how it works, you know? So we have to acknowledge in regards to exposure, access. And the only thing you've been seeing is Hollywood movies and hearing extreme stories online, which most of them are lies.
Yep.
You know? This person been in business for 3 months. They a multimillionaire and they telling you how to be in business. Let me tell you this, yo. I have never met a person who really getting money out there giving no classes on how to get money. I'll say it again. I've never met a single human being that's out here really getting it, that's giving classes and tutorials on how to get that money. Those who are giving the classes and tutorials, their money that they get is from you paying class, for the classes and tutorials. You know, because you too busy. When you got time to be consulting people on the phone and talking to people about how you get your money.
Consistently.
That, yeah. It's not even like you call up and he come to a big thing and just drop two little lines and collect his 40, 50 grand and go back into the thing. No, I'm talking about you don't have time to be talking to random people every day about how you're making
money. That is the business.
And that's what people fail to understand. And unfortunately with them is that I take those type of people as, now some of them have been successful with a business, but not majority of them. And I take them as college professors in the sense that they understand the theory, but they themselves have no practice to apply it. You know, and it's a big difference because for my people that apply stuff, you know, here you go, next thing, fight. I don't know no man that really out there like that. I read too many motivation books too, especially from previous generation. They just go out there and get it and figure it out.
Yeah.
And check and learn, you know.
Life itself, two things that you have to just know how to embrace these things. Not saying you must go in a situation blind, you know, because you're going to get equipped in the situation. Yeah. And you think, but what are the things that equip me for success?
Yeah.
It's just a mindset of the first thing we really start, the whole being equipped for success is just a mindset thing from get-go, you know. And then we mention that first, now we start thinking about the theory. Secondly, we start thinking about the theory. What type of theoretical things can I apply?
Yeah.
Keyword apply. And then after that, no, it's not the application as yet, you know, after the theory where you think both are applying, you know. Yeah. I want people to understand this, you know. It's actually the strategy that comes in between that. The thought leadership where you have to know how to carry it out and which directions am I going to go. Put in these timestamps on this thing. Because you see, all of these so-called goals and so-called plans that people have and them now put timestamp on it, it now make no sense at all. And then right after that now, then comes the application where you start put that application into perspective. And you know, say, on top of that too, one thing come to my mind, I'm here to talk about the celebrities and these things. Usain Bolt. I really want to address this concept of Usain Bolt. I think people misunderstand Usain Bolt. Especially people who get a little fame or a little thing and get hype. Because MC Usain Bolt has this like a flamboyant personality and love the party and love the limelight to certain things while he was at him prime. A lot of people misunderstand it and think them could have done the same, not realizing that. Have you ever seen a training session for Usain Bolt? Have you ever seen what he's done during injury? Have you ever seen the whole process that Usain Bolt have got through to get to the levels that he's at? So people misunderstand the concept of and not understanding. Say Usain Bolt is like a one in a million.
Farai, I want to say that, man. Too. I want to say that. Listen, this is the problem I have with the theory thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The theory thing is so precise in regards to an environment where the theory works. if we break it down. And a lot of times you just, your situation don't apply to all the pieces to make that theory work. With Hussein Bolt, too many times as our society, we take these extremes and use them as, Hussein Bolt is a freak of nature, yo. I don't care what you do, you're not replicating that. You just saying? Like, I was there reasoning with the football bridge and he was saying, I said, yo, this man a freak of nature, yo. I don't care what you want to tell kids what you're doing. Whatever's going on in your body, fire like a next man can. You can work out till you turn blue. You can take steroids. You take whatever you want. You can't replicate. This person is a unique structure. And that's where we flop ourselves out. We take we take all these unique situations because we don't know what's going on in that person's life. Or even all, if a spiritual level fight, we don't know what's there for them. You get what I'm saying? Or a man did this, that. No, you can't do it. You can do something within your realms. You got to figure out what worked for you. But too many times we try to take what the next person, oh, I'm going to do what Bill Gates did and all these people. Fight, you don't know what these people into, yeah?
And it's a good motive. I'm keep on telling people it's good motive.
I don't think so far.
No, I'm saying good motivation in the sense of, you have an aim. Because everybody have somebody who them look who motivate them, you know.
Yeah.
So you need motivation in a fire. But the motivation, it will be realistic. But that's I what need I was so if say, I'm yeah. in the tech field, if I'm in the tech field, then Bill Gates can. No, I don't really want to say this for Bill Gates being a motivation. Just an example.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the athletics field, Usain Bolt can be a motivation. I'm not going to try to be like right, Usain Bolt to replicate what he does, but he can be a motivation because that's who I look up to.
I think
that's what I mean.
Yeah. We need more of that approach that's healthy in regards to motivation and what to aspire to compared to I'm going to be the next Usain Bolt.
Yes,
I really despise when people say that.
And even without doing any work at all, because I really want to focus on doing the work, you know, because the fact that even though he's a freak of nature in terms of what I'm able to, the output, what I can give, but the man training sessions are intense. Coach him very intense. The structure where them have, the dietary confinements, so they have to go through very intense. How are you going to do that when you're not even trying to change that?
Not even that. You don't have access. You get that's what I'm trying to say, Farah. You don't have access to the level of coaching that this man has, facilities and every other thing that's going on. That's what I was trying to say in regards to. That's why it's kind of futile to say replicate these things.
So within your reach, so we can't do it.
Yeah.
The law of equivalent exchange still. Really, really.
You have to give something, you know?
You have to give something.
And stop thinking you're going to get something for nothing, you know? That's what many of them think. It's just like, fire a man, go spend all his money, then he expect money to be at the door.
Yes, sir.
Church, you're wicked thing.